Today's podcast is brought to you by the Eden Pure Gen 40 heater. The Gen 40 heaters are back in stock. With skyrocketing heating bills, they sold out and will go fast again. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. For this week or until they run out, you can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with code Howie50.
The numbers are in. Listeners are voting often and early for Grace Curley, just like they did for her adopted grandfather. From year one to number one.
Make it so, number one.
You can read Grace's work in the Boston Herald, the Spectator, and the Daily Mail.
You got to bring in a new voice, a young voice, a rising voice, Grace Curley.
Now, live from the Aviva Trattoria studio, the millennial with the mic, the Grace Curley Show.
Especially Grace. Grace, stand up.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to the Grace Curley Show. It is the last hour of this Thursday program, and as always, you are welcome to call in. We have a lot to get to here. It's 844-500-4242. Sam Bankman-Fried, or as you might know him, SBF, has been released, or will be released, on a record $250 million bond and placed under house arrest. He'll be staying at his parents' house.
I'm guessing they don't accept crypto for that bond.
Yeah, it's like a giant IOU. Trust me, I'm good for it. Just ask around, all right? I am good as gold on this. FTX founder Sam Bankman-Fried is set to be released on $250 million bond and placed under house arrest at his parents' Palo Alto home following his first court appearance in Manhattan. The judge signed off on the deal that saw the accused fraudster voluntarily leave the Bahamas to face a slew of charges. The charges carry a sentence of 115 years behind bars. He appeared in court wearing a dark gray suit and sporting a 5 o'clock shadow and huddled with his lawyers, both of whom I believe represented the high profile sex offender Ghislaine Maxwell earlier this year. Assistant U.S. Attorney Nick Roos said he believed the bond, which was to be signed by the defendant, his parents, and a non-family member, was the highest ever pretrial bond the feds had ever offered. Interesting. And you know what that means? It also goes on to say that the suspect would be able to leave his parents' house for exercise and mental health and substance abuse treatment and would be forbidden to make non-sanctioned transactions above $1,000 with the exception of legal fees. Now, is the girlfriend in prison? She pled guilty, but is she in prison? Because if not, can you say rendezvous? Can you say reconciliation station? Just saying, if these two lovebirds are out on the loose, anything's possible.
Visits.
Anything is possible. It's Christmas time.
We did have somebody text in earlier at the beginning of the show, and I can't find the error code. I apologize, but they wanted to know if SBF and Caroline Ellison have a celebrity couple name, like Jennifer.
Good question. Let me think on it, because there's definitely something. I'm sure there's some website you can put it in, but I'll come up with a good one. I'll definitely come up with a good one. So if anyone wants to comment on that, on the fact that they're letting Sam Bankman, and how does it, I know I'm going to sound stupid here, but that's okay. I'm open to that. It's going to happen. I've never really understood bond. And the reason why is if you eventually are found not guilty, which I don't think is going to happen for SBF. He's done too many interviews with too many people and he said too many stupid things. Did you hear he actually had a group chat going that the title of the group chat was wire fraud, allegedly?
I did not, but
allegedly.
That's hardly shocking.
So I just don't think he cleaned up his tracks very good.
I think arrogance may be one of his issues as well.
He said he got cocky and he regrets it, Jared. What more do you want from the man? But my question is, does it work? Like if he's not found not guilty, if he's found guilty, does he have to pay that $250 million? Do they get to keep it? You know, I always think of it as like when you put down a security deposit, right? You get it back as long as you don't damage the house. See, Jared doesn't know either. This is what you're... See, no one can see you, which is why you're so damn lucky. Because the Rumble Cam can see me. But Jared gets to Google it, and then he's going to come on here, and he's going to read it, and then I'm going to feel like a fool. I just don't understand how you can take $250 million from this guy who owes so many people money. If I were the judge, I would say, oh, look at it. You have $250 million, huh? You got that laying around. I got a couple people who could use a couple of millions that you stole from them, allegedly. Seems like that might come in handy. Anyway, moving on from SBF, that's all I have to add to the situation right now. We will keep you abreast of the situation as it unfolds.
Okay, so in New York, the bail/bond money will be returned at the end of your case if you make all of your court appearances. If you are found guilty or if your case is dismissed, you'll get 100%. If you're found not guilty or a case is dismissed, you get 100% of the money back. However, if you're convicted, it will be returned less a 3% fee.
Oh, okay. So someone's still getting it back. I don't know who put up this money. You know what I'm very curious about?
Nick D points out he only had 100K in his bank account.
Yeah, that's what he told us. That's what he told us. You know what I'm very curious about, though, is his parents, because they are all over this. The Stanford professors, they were in the Bahamas. His mom was laughing when he was called a fugitive. He bought them all this property. There was rumors at one point that the dad was giving legal advice before this whole thing blew up. All of this is just, you know, all of this is speculation. You know, I can't confirm any of it, but I've read it in different places. I'd be curious if they are investigated and what happens to all this property. So if I find out, rest assured, I will bring you all of the updates. Now, something else I wanted to talk about here. I've been promising to talk about this for a long time, and I keep forgetting, but it's very important. Did anyone see the statement that the FBI put out about the Twitter files? Well, let's do a little recap. The Twitter files essentially confirmed what we all knew, which is Twitter was getting direct contact from the FBI telling them which accounts to monitor, which accounts were bad, and they were taking directives. And in fact, the FBI actually paid Twitter $3.5 million to do that. And it's absurd. It's absurd that they were telling the FBI and Twitter, and they're really essentially the same thing, because they had like 14 people at Twitter that used to work for the FBI. And actually, James Baker, who was general counsel at Twitter and was telling everyone at Twitter, we should really be careful with this Hunter Biden stuff. This, you know, this could potentially be a hacked operation. He was at the FBI when they had the Hunter Biden laptop. So it's just, it cannot get any more corrupt. And the web here is just completely tangled between the two organizations. So I was waiting for the statement from the FBI on this. And I was on with Howie a couple days ago. And how he was saying how, you know, they won't tell us anything, sources and methods. And I said, yeah, but the other thing they'll do, which drives me crazy, is when you catch any sort of governmental organization, whether it's the FBI, CIA, whatever it is, and you catch them in something like this, where it's so obviously stinky and it's so bad. And they'll come out and say, well, this is procedure. This is nothing new. This is, we always do this. And they really gaslight you and make you feel like, you think this is a big deal? This is par for the course. This is part of our jobs. And I'm sitting there going, paying Twitter $3.5 million and getting them to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop story and worrying about Billy Baldwin's Twitter account is part of your job? Is that part of the oath you take? I don't even know if they do take an oath for the FBI. But a lot of these places take oaths, so they probably do at some point. You're trying to tell me all of this is on your general duties list for the day? Well, I got to read you this statement. Actually, you know what? I think Fox, we haven't played much sound today. Let's have Sandra Smith read it. This is Cut 9.
We are getting our first response from the FBI to the Twitter file dumps. The statement reads, the correspondence between the FBI and Twitter show nothing more than examples of our traditional long-standing and ongoing federal government and private sector engagements, which involve numerous companies over multiple sectors and industries, as evidenced in the correspondence.
In other words, we do this stuff all the time. You think this is bad? It's like George Costanza sleeping with the cleaning lady. Is something wrong with this? Was I not supposed to do that? Is that frowned upon? They really want you to believe that there's something weird about this. Why are you all acting like this is such a huge deal? We're telling Twitter to not run with the Hunter Biden story because it could be hacked, even though we knew it wasn't hacked because we had the laptop since a year prior. What is so strange about that? What is so hard to believe?
Who said that? She did. Was that wrong? Should I not have done that? I tell you, I gotta plead ignorance on this thing, because if anyone had said anything to me at all when I first started here, that sort of thing was frowned upon.
It gets even worse, though. The rest of the statement's even worse. Let's play the rest of it, Jared.
Respondents, the FBI provides critical information to the private sector in an effort to allow them to protect themselves and their customers. The men and women of the FBI work every day to protect the American public. It is unfortunate that conspiracy theorists and others are feeding the American public misinformation with the sole purpose of attempting to discredit the agency. Justin.
Oh my gosh. Please, please, please stop with the conspiracy theorist stuff, okay? Seeing correspondence between the people at the FBI and the people on Twitter, and the people at the FBI telling the people on Twitter to suppress the Hunter Biden laptop because it might be hacked information, and briefing the people at Facebook and Twitter about this bombshell story that would look bad for their preferred candidate, Joe Biden, seeing all that out in the open and remarking on how ludicrous it is and how dangerous it is for our democracy. Oh yeah, I can use it too, Don Lemon. I can say it too. That is not being a conspiracy theorist. Acknowledging real things in real time and not 2 years later like the mainstream media is not being a conspiracy theorist.
Also bringing in Don Lemon, you conspiracy theorists with your reading.
It's just, it's so insulting. Like, I want to laugh, but it gets me so frustrated because I know I use this word a lot. They are gaslighting everyone.
This is
gaslighting.
The prime definition of gaslighting. Yes.
We are not doing anything wrong. And honestly, you all seem kind of crazy. They're like the manipulative boyfriend who, when you get upset about something, is like, why are you acting so nuts? You're acting crazy. Okay? You seem insane right now. You need to calm down. It's like, no. We are right. We saw the interactions. It was inappropriate and possibly illegal. And so don't spin this on Trump, credulous boomer rube, conspiracy theorists, tinfoil hatters. Oh, just like I was a conspiracy theorist when I was suspicious of where the COVID, where the coronavirus originated from. Just like I was a conspiracy theorist when I thought maybe natural immunity would protect you more than the vaccine. Just like we were conspiracy theorists with everything over the last 5 years that ended up being true. Everything ends up being true. But they call you a you know when they call you a conspiracy theorist? When you're on to something. When you're on to something, they'll call you a conspiracy theorist. When you're getting close, they'll call you a conspiracy. It's the last refuge of a scoundrel is calling people conspiracy. It's become the new racist, really. It really has. Like, oh, you have a problem with the ads from Balenciaga that exploit children? Conspiracy theorist. So we're just not supposed to comment on anything now because you'll get pinned as a conspiracy theorist. Well, what's worse? Racist, conspiracy theorist, election denier? These are all ways to shut you up. These are all ways to get you to stop following these stories. To make you feel crazy. You're not crazy. Okay? I'm telling you right now, you're not crazy. My friends at Eden Pure are extending their Gen 40 heater special until Christmas, and it's slated to sell out, and this is while supplies last. Reduce your heating bills with a Gen 40 heater. If you missed the last special, order fast and now at EdenPureDeals.com. You can get the stylish and strong Eden Pure Gen 40 heater with $50 off with code GRACE50. These are awesome heaters. We love them here at the Howie Car Radio Network. They're cool. They're stylish. They're safe around pets. They're safe around kids. And you really can't go wrong. Plus, they're going to save you a lot of money on your heat because you don't need to heat up the whole house. They'll keep you warm wherever you are. I use mine in the living room. It keeps me warm when I'm watching TV. Jared, I know you love to have one at your house as well.
Yeah, we actually have been using it to supplement our oil heat with oil being so expensive. Normally, we fill up before the season. We fill up at the end of December, but we still have half a tank. So we've probably gotten about 6 more weeks of life out of our oil because of the Gen 40 heater.
Yeah, you cannot beat that kind of savings. And right now, you can also save $50 with code GRACE50 at EdenPureDeals.com. So go to EdenPureDeals.com, put in code GRACE50. Save today and be prepared for the cold temps. That's EdenPureDeals.com, code word GRACE50. Shipping is free. Do you think learning about the FBI's involvement at Twitter, where they seem to spend most of their time, and a lot of money as well, do you think learning about that or having access to that information makes you a conspiracy theorist? Weigh in. We'll be right back.
Answering the hard-hitting questions of our time.
Let's say you're abducted by aliens.
Fine.
They haul you aboard the mothership, take you back to their planet as a curiosity. Now, would you rather be in their zoo or their circus?
It's the Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. So Michael Beschloss from NBC, he thinks anyone who didn't clap for Zelensky during his address to Congress, we need to know exactly why. Again, when these journalists want to get an answer on something, man, they waste no time. They don't hold back. They are heroes. But if you have questions about Joe Biden, about Hunter Biden, about Twitter, about the FBI, about where this money's going, no questions. Please, please, no more questions. But if you didn't clap for President Zelensky, if you did not clap during his rousing speech where Nancy Pelosi and Kamala Harris looked at him with googly eyes and held up the Ukrainian flag, if you did not clap, we need answers. And Michael Beschloss will not take no for an answer. He needs to know why. Where is this curiosity? I don't know, with anything else. COVID, Fauci, the list goes on and on. I know, I'm a conspiracy theorist. I know. The FBI would tell me, go put on your tinfoil hat, you gross conspiracy theorist. But these are the questions I have. And I'm not a journalist. I wish we had journalists like Michael Beschloss who could maybe transfer some of this energy. Take the reporters at the Washington Post. They had so many questions when they found out they were going to get laid off. I wish they had this many questions for Karine Jean-Pierre or Joe Biden. But alas, it is not to be. Today's poll question is brought to you by ReadyWise. Global unrest is battering the food supply chain and the energy markets, and it's incumbent on you to be prepared. So get ready with ReadyWise. Go to ReadyWise.com and use code GRACE15 to get 15% off your next purchase. That's ReadyWise.com. Use code GRACE15 to get 15% off your next purchase. Jared, what is the poll question and what are the results thus far?
Christmas tree, real or fake?
I'm going to say real.
Real tree has taken the lead, 51% to 49% for fake tree. Very heated poll question.
This is going back and forth. Got to keep an eye on this. You know, as we talk about transparency and asking questions, which I just really want to remind people, because I don't want you to make the same mistakes I have. If you can learn anything from this show, it's learn from my mistakes. Don't ask questions. If you ask questions in this world right now, and they're not the right kind of questions, be ready, because you will be canceled. You will be called a conspiracy theorist. For example, you know what I have some questions about? January 6th. And amazingly enough, after all the money that was spent, after all of the great television, it was really the golden age. You know, it was a merger of the golden age of television, the golden age of journalism, the golden age of everything merged into one. And yet, despite all that, I still have so many questions that weren't answered. I'm sure Liz Cheney had ample opportunity.
Take your conspiracies elsewhere.
Oh, they're conspiracies. We're going to talk about my conspiracies when we come back. Because the House GOP has a report out that faults Nancy Pelosi for the January 6th security failures. It's by Miranda Devine. Very well written.
What's that about?
Is to be expected. And we'll talk about that. Also, we have people on the line who want to talk about Congress, who want to talk about Ukraine. We will get into it all in the last big chunk of the Grace Curley Show on this Thursday before Christmas. Please don't go anywhere. We'll be right back.
Live from the Aviva Trattoria Studio.
Welcome back, everyone, to the Grace Curley Show. Some updates for you. SBF is out on a $250 million bond. Joe Biden is letting people leave the White House early, but it's not a snow day. You just get to go home. It's not a snow day. And also, we have some updates for you on January 6th. Not the kind of updates Liz Cheney would want you to hear, which means this is actual, important, interesting information. But before we get to any of that, let's go to Brian. You're up next on the Grace Curley Show. Go ahead, Brian.
Hi, Grace. You know, as you were describing all of that, you know, the people, how upset they seem to be with what's going on in Ukraine. And nobody can say that attacking Ukraine was a great thing, but or a good thing. It was a terrible thing. But if you think back to when they impeached President Trump with his phone call to, I believe it was newly elected Zelensky, and maybe it sounds conspiratorial, but it sounds like it's all tied together. I mean, he was rattling their cages with that. And if, you know, if they're all making money there, or they did make money, or whatever they did that might have been underhanded, you know, just the same people are standing there, and including the Republicans. Again, I'm not saying that what Russia did can be justified and it was a terrible thing, but they're applauding like this guy is somehow, it's almost like he was the president of the United States, and we're supposed to be like worshiping this guy. I mean, and then, of course, the rest, which has already been covered, his wife caught on a shopping spree. The whole thing just seems terrible to me.
Yeah, and, you know, I don't know as much about what the phone call would have to do with what's going on now. But as far as the connections between the last administration and what's going on, I mean, there is definitely a connection. You pointed out the phone call. And Maggie Haberman wrote a piece yesterday, I think, in the New York Times, right, about how Zelensky was, I don't know, she said, how did she phrase it, Jared? Like he was created under Trump?
I believe it was created under Trump, yeah.
And so there's definitely connections that go back. I don't think that there's anything with that phone call. The phone call was a perfectly, as Trump always said, it was a perfectly fine phone call. That whole impeachment was such a farce. My bigger problem here, based off what we actually do know, is that I don't understand. I don't understand, and I guess it's kind of exactly what Tucker said, how this guy comes in here and talks to us all like this, and all of our politicians seem totally fine to get lectured to and kind of berated by this man who's already getting billions. I mean, he's going to have $100 billion from us probably once this omnibus bill goes through, and there just doesn't seem to be any gratitude, and even more so, he's in the driver's seat. He's telling us what to do. He's bullying us around and telling us it's not enough. We need more. It's an investment. It's not charity. And there's something about the whole thing that rubs me the wrong way. And so from what you're saying, the last caller, I don't think there's a connection as far as the impeachment phone call and Russia deciding to invade Ukraine. I wouldn't go that far. But what I will say is Ukraine has a long history of being a corrupt country. And there's nothing wrong with pointing that out. And like we're all supposed to have the Men in Black memory stick and pretend that that hasn't happened. The left would have told you that a year ago. They would have been very open about that. And now they act like that's a thing of the past. And so let's just keep funneling billions of dollars to this country because they're fighting Russia. There's no way it could go wrong. Just boneheaded.
And again, a country that last week lost a bunch of money in a crypto scheme that we sent them.
Yeah.
I mean, last week.
6 degrees of Kevin Bacon, more like 6 degrees of SBF. The man is connected to everyone. 844-500-4242. I want to talk about January 6th, though, and not for the reasons you might think. This isn't like an Adam Schiff parody of January 6th. This is something that a lot of people, a lot of conservatives have been bringing up since January 6th occurred. And don't forget, we're about to hit another anniversary or milestone of January 6th. Is it the third year, I think, the third anniversary? And it's going to be...
No, it's...
Second year?
Second, yeah.
It's going to be...
It feels like eight.
It's going to be brutal. It's going to be 24/7 coverage. It's going to be a Liz Cheney, a Palooza, a Liz Cheney spectacular. And the answer we never got is Nancy Pelosi and her involvement in all this. And I'll tell you what, I'm going to read here from Miranda Devine. I'm going to skip around a little bit, but I think this is important. It says, House GOP report faults Nancy Pelosi for January 6th security failures. Leadership and law enforcement failures within the U.S. Capitol left the complex vulnerable on January 6th, says the report. House Sergeant-at-Arms Paul Irving succumbed to political pressures from the office of Speaker Pelosi and House Democratic leadership and was compromised by politics and did not adequately prepare for violence at the Capitol. Pelosi and her staff coordinated closely with Irving on security plans for the joint session of Congress on January 6th, but Republicans were deliberately left out of important discussions related to security. In an apparent attempt to hide from Republicans the fact that they were being excluded from discussions, Irving asked a senior Democratic staffer to act surprised when he sent key information about the plans for the joint session on January 6th to him and his Republican counterpart. The staffer replied, "I'm startled." The report also claims that staff within the House Sergeant-at-Arms office emailed Paul Irving that January 6th was Pelosi's fault, although it provides no evidence for that assertion. When Irving was forced to resign after the riot, an email from an unnamed staffer in his office criticized Pelosi's knee-jerk reaction to the unprecedented event and described his resignation as spectacularly unjust, unfair, and unwarranted. This is not your fault. Given Pelosi's grooming of Cheney, no doubt it suited both their interests to focus the final January 6th committee report on Trump and not on Pelosi's culpability. And you'll remember, I read to you yesterday, and there was such a slew of stories yesterday on the Biden administration and the Democrats trying to hide information that would actually be very valuable for people. But one of those stories had to do with January 6th and how the LA Times was reporting there's all of this, there's all of these records and interviews and footage that they've collected over the last 2 years to have these January 6th trials, and we'll probably never see them because they only wanted the footage that was spliced up that met their one-sided show trial that supported their narrative. So you have all of this information from all of these witnesses, and for some reason, you're only getting a tiny fraction of it. Now, why would that be? Why would Nancy Pelosi, okay? Why would Nancy Pelosi, the Speaker of the House, who, based off this report right here, hold on, let me just find the exact phrasing. She's a key part of planning the security for that event. They report to her, basically. They have to wait for her to give him the okay. Why wouldn't she be questioned during the January 6th hearings? Why do we have hours and hours of the best TV known to man, second to Mad Men? And Nancy Pelosi wasn't ever questioned. Does no one see anything wrong with that? Or again, am I just, you know, conspiracy theorist here? Am I not allowed to ask these questions either? Am I just supposed to take Nancy Pelosi at her word? Because she's never been one to lie. I don't want to accuse her of being set up here. But there's a lot of questions with January 6th that we're never going to get. And how's this? This is really funny. So the January 6th committee, Jared, they were supposed to put out this report yesterday. It was supposed to come out yesterday. And then they decided not to. Do you care to guess why they decided not to put it out?
Oh, out of respect for Volodymyr Zelensky's visit?
Out of respect is putting it very kindly. These losers are such attention-seeking wannabe has-beens. That's how bad it is. They're not just has-beens. They're wannabe has-beens. That they saw Zelensky dressed in all green and yelling at members of Congress to give him more money, please. And they thought, this is going to rain on our parade. This is going to take all the attention away from our big fancy report. And we've been working on it all week. And no one's going to read it because Zelensky's here. So they postponed it. And when I read that, I was like, when did they do this before? This is not the first time they've done this. They did this when Hurricane Ian happened. And I don't think it was affecting D.C., but they knew that all the coverage and all the news was going to be on this. And so they're like, oh, we can't afford to lose those eyeballs. But here's what they don't understand. I want to give them a little bit of relief, okay? Whether you release it today, tomorrow, when there's a huge news story, when there's no news stories, the good news for you is that no one is going to care no matter what. If there's a hurricane, if Zelensky's in town, if Cher's addressing Congress, if she comes back from Jupiter and sings, do you believe in life after life? It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter what it is. It doesn't matter what the event is. No one's going to care. So you might as well release the report. Get it off your chest. You know, send in, how I feel about it, Jared, is like before Christmas. Remember you were in school and you had a paper due? And you might have known. You wrote the paper and it sucked. Like you didn't really give it your best shot. But it still felt just as good when you sent it in, when you hit the send button to your teacher and you were like, ooh, that's probably a C-. But man, getting it off your desk, the best feeling ever. So I say to Liz Cheney, I say to Adam Schiff, I say to Nancy Pelosi, send it, baby, send it.
The people have a right to know.
Yeah, if this report is so consequential, if it's so vital to our democracy, send it on over. One more thing before we go here. I got to read this. Did you hear Keith Olbermann had a moment again?
No, I didn't hear it.
Per usual, Keith Olbermann having a total normal one. He did a podcast with Molly Jungfest. She's the woman who's going gaga over Andrew Cuomo. Remember, she just couldn't get over. I think she said she had a crush on him or something. I don't remember the exact phrasing. She couldn't get over Andrew Cuomo. And then she admitted later, like, that might have not been my best call. And I was thinking, Molly, you've had a few questionable hot takes over the years. But anyway, so he's having this podcast interview, and he was talking about how Republicans might end up having all these political committees against Democrats when they take over. And he referenced the Michelle Obama, when they go low, we go high, which was always a ridiculous statement because Democrats always go low. But it became something where Democrats really held on to that. You know, we're classy. We rise above. They say that as they're also, you know, Maxine Waters is screaming at people, telling them to get up in people's faces if you see Trump administration officials at a gas station. So it never really meshed. You know, it didn't really make sense. But they like to believe that that's what they're about. We are the classy party. We take the high road. Well, here's the quote from Keith Olbermann, and I'll just let you guys decide, okay? He says, I'm not going to try to do my crazy Keith Olbermann voice. I wish the Democrats would play that game to 10% of the levels that Republicans do. Until the Democrats stop rolling over for this and saying, we're not going to dirty our hands. When they go low, we go high. When they go low, we get baseball bats. That should be next. Let's get Obama out here saying, when they go low, we get baseball bats. I think that would solve this completely. Again, he really is the face of the party of tolerance.
Yeah, Eric Holder just wanted to kick people when he went low. He wants baseball bats.
Yeah, Eric, very good point, Jared. Eric Holder said, you know, when they go low, we go high. No, when they go low, we kick them. And Keith Olbermann is taking it up a notch, which is typical of him. My question is, have his dogs weighed in on this yet? Have they tweeted out? Have they condemned this? Have they disavowed it? And as we talk about that, has Joe Biden disavowed this?
I think now that Keith is going to have his Twitter reinstated, I think Elon said, I think the dogs are back to just posting pictures of cupcakes on their Twitter.
The boys are back in town. The boys are back in town. Keith Olbermann, man, he's something else. We should do like a March Madness of the most broken Trump deranged people and just figure out. He might be top dog. He really is.
I would have to go Rob Reiner. Top dog.
Top dog. No pun intended. Because Keith Olbermann, if you missed that story, when Keith Olbermann got thrown off Twitter, he brought his dogs on and he took over his dog's Twitter account. And then Elon Musk made fun of him and he said, "It's a rescue dog account, genius." Very seems like a lovely guy.
It doesn't sound like those dogs were rescued to me.
Who rescued who? Isn't that what they always say? You know what, Jared? I think that Keith Olbermann is the kind of person who would just be lovely to be around Christmas. Because he just seems so jolly. If I had to describe him in one word, it would be jolly. But yeah, keep telling me how Republicans are hateful and our rhetoric is dangerous. And Keith Olbermann's talking about bringing out baseball bats. Something's not adding up. I've said it before and I'll say it again. Dr. Houghton of Perfect Smiles is the best in the business. I went to Perfect Smiles yesterday. It is always such a great experience. I had Julie as my dental hygienist. She was absolutely phenomenal. I'm telling you, heated seats. They basically, like at the end of it, they use this gum massager and you can hear how clean your teeth are. They actually squeak. And the whole thing is quick, easy, painless. They're so gentle and they just do a great job. But if you're out there and you're thinking, well, I need more than that. I need more than a teeth cleaning. I want to transform my smile. This really is the place to go because Dr. Houghton is the best at what he does. He is an artist and he's so passionate about it. And if you go to perfectsmiles.com, you watch these video testimonials, you will hear from people who probably, like you, thought about it for a long time. They finally made the decision and it changed their life. And the common thing you're going to hear from everybody is that their only regret throughout the whole process is they didn't do it sooner. So if you're driving your car, if you're listening to this and you're putting it off, do it now. We're almost into the new year. You totally deserve it and you're not going to regret it. Perfect Smiles is located off Route 3. They've got plenty of parking. You can reach them at perfectsmiles.com. That's perfectsmiles.com. Change your smile, change your life. We will be right back with more. This is The Grace Curley Show.
The Grace Curley Show will be right back. This is The Grace Curley Show.
Welcome back, everyone, to The Grace Curley Show. Thank you all so much for tuning in. I will not be here tomorrow, but it's a live show, so you don't want to miss it. Joining us now is the man, the myth, the legend, Howard Lawrence Carr. Howie, thanks so much for coming on the program.
Thanks, Grace. And I'd just like to make it clear for the record, I did not put up any of the $250 million bail for scam, bank run fraud.
Howie, a lot of people on Twitter are shocked that he was able to make that bail or bond, whatever you want to call it. One of my texters pointed out, it doesn't have to be your money. It could be somebody else. But who do you think's putting up the cash for this dude?
That's another. I thought about making that the poll question. Who do you think it is? I mean, they said there's an unnamed person that's involved in this. And could it be George Soros?
See, my whole...
I don't know. Maybe the Democrat National Committee? I don't know. Brandon? Who could it be?
An artist?
I'm going to say it's Zelensky. Why is he in town?
I would think...
But Zelensky only got $40 million. Well, that's the thing. You got to come up with 10%. Right down.
Oh.
So it's $25 million. So you're right. You're right, Jared. He could come up with the money just on the money that he sent back to SBF out of the kickback. And but of course, you got to figure 10% went to the big guy of that $40 million.
You think SBF's parents will be investigated, Howie?
Well, that's another thing I don't understand. I thought the Wall Street Journal said they're being investigated as well. I mean, when Whitey Bulger was arrested, he didn't get to, be bailed out into the custody of Howie Winter and Johnny Mottorano, Not that they would have wanted him anyway, but it's the same. They're part of the same gang, right? He bought them their house, and now he's going to live in their house in Palo Alto, not in the Bahamas.
Well, the story of SBF continues, and Howie will have all of the updates for you. I will be back Tuesday, guys. Enjoy your Christmas. Tune in tomorrow for a great show. And don't go anywhere. Howie Carr, coming up next.